not-so-happy Jeremy Warner as he stews not only in the fact that his White Sox they're not in the playoffs like the Cardinals, but
thank you.
Then you just had some really bad news as well in your mind as Robin Ventura was named the manager, the new manager of the Chicago White Sox.
You know what? I got to look up his pronunciation of his name.
Yeah, because I say Ventura, you say Ventura.
Yeah, you had like a C in his name there.
Ventura. I know. I've always said it like that, and I think I'm wrong. I think
you
it's
might
Ventura.
Be right, I don't know.
You know what? I'm wrong a lot of times. So I'm assuming that you're probably right on this. But we are going to welcome Kevin Wheeler. I know I'm saying that right. From KMOX and the St. Louis Cardinals broadcast team with us. Kevin, I know we're going to talk a lot of Cardinals, but I've got to get your initial reaction to the hire of Robin. What do you think of that with Chicago?
It's very, very strange. And I like Robin Ventura. I mean, I lived in Chicago for 12 years before moving to St. Louis. I'm not a fan of the White Sox or the Cubs, but I know he's a good guy. I know he's a smart baseball man. But last I checked, he's been doing TV work since he left baseball and not really coaching and managing. Now, he's probably done some instructing and things like that on the side, and I'm not sure that I don't know, this is weird because I think he's a smart guy, but at his age, being thrown into a managerial spot without any experience managing, it's kind of odd, to say the least.
Yeah, Kevin, he's the director of player development under Buddy Bell in the White Sox farm system since June 6th of this year, and he was coaching high school before that. So yeah. not a lot of experience there, but for me, this reeks of Kenny Williams, and he wants a yes man. After having Ozzie for so long, it just seems like this is a bizarre baseball move and that maybe Kenny Williams' ego is getting involved here.
I don't know if it's it's a good question because Kenny Williams does weird things. Yeah. I mean, he's a smart guy. I mean, he's been doing his job for a long time, and he put together a World Series champion. I don't know what his specific reasons are here. Maybe the yes man thing. I'm not sure that Robin would be that. But I think he wanted a certain kind of personality, and I can guarantee you what the organization wanted was somebody that fans would like. Because fans really generally like Ozzie Guillen. I mean, they may not agree with him. They may not always think he's the smartest manager in the world and makes some crazy moves sometimes and says crazy things. But I mean, you like him. You know, he's a nice guy. He interacts with fans. He was a popular player for the White Sox for a long time. Now, they're going to bring in Frank Thomas to be Robin Ventura's hitting coach, which, again, can't really argue. He was the disciple of Walt Reniac, who did some great things in the White Sox system. And I just think it's an odd move, to be honest with you. I mean, we've seen similar moves before. Remember when A.J. Hinch was made the manager of the Diamondbacks? And
right.
That didn't work out very well. Alan Trammell was named the manager of the Tigers, and that didn't work out. Of course, that was a horrible, horrible team and not really his fault. And he had some experience, though, as a big league bench coach and things like that. I think that's the weird part, is that he hasn't had any time on the bench in a professional level, even though he's been in the organization for part of a year.
Well, one guy that has a lot of experience managing, that's Tony La Russa. And I guess the rumor was, or not a rumor, it's a fact, that they had thought about it for about 20 seconds not playing David Freese last night. I think they're glad they did, Kevin.
Yeah, I'd say so. And this comes down to, look, this is something I try to talk fans off a ledge about every once in a while. You just don't go by hot and cold and this and that during the postseason. You put your best lineup out there.
Right.
You put your best players out there in the situations that they're supposed to be out there in, and if they don't come through, they don't come through. And that was simple. You know, David Freese is struggling. Do you think that Charlie Manuel is going to decide not to go with Ryan Howard because he's been awful these last three games? Of course not. And I'm not saying that Freese is Ryan Howard.
I know
just
exactly.
Pointing out that you ride your horses when you're in the postseason.
Kevin Wheeler from KMOX and also the St. Louis Cardinals broadcast team. You hear his voice, obviously, on the pregame and postgame. Does an awesome job with it. Kevin, I guess David Freese, I mean, can you ask for a better script? Maybe the World Series, but a local kid from Lafayette, and he comes through with a huge night.
No, you can't really. I mean, that's the second one of his signature home runs. He had the big home run late in the regular season that won a game for him, big three-run shot. And at that point, he said it was the coolest thing. So I'm sure this has trumped that. And the only way to trump this one is to either do it again in Game 5 or do it in the next series or in the World Series. So, yeah, I mean, to this point, you can't really argue it. I mean, and there's been some up and down for David Freese, too. You know, he had the DUIs. He had a couple of the off-the-field things that he had to overcome. He's overcome that. He's obviously been a good ball player who's had to overcome injuries, too. So he's got a lot to his story, in addition to being the hometown kid who came up with one of the biggest hits in franchise history from a St. Louis kid, maybe right up there with Mike Shannon.
I liked the deal when it happened, Kevin, but a lot of people didn't. But at least for the short term, that Colby Rasmus deal looks pretty good for the Cardinals with what Octavio Dotel and Mark Szczepanski have been able to do in that bullpen.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, it made sense at the time it was done. It made sense, especially, again, since they said right away, John Mozeliak, first thing he said was, this is for the now. This is for us to win now. Well, it accomplished that. Even if they don't, you know, they contributed big time last night, all of those guys. But they don't get to the playoffs without those three guys, in particular without Edwin Jackson. And I know that, you know, if they don't win the World Series, there'll still be people that say, well, you still gave away Colby. But you got Szczepanski for the next several years. You control him for at least 2 or 3 years, maybe even more than that. And you're going to get compensation picks if Edwin Jackson walks away. And I think he's going to be a type A. And it could be a first rounder and a supplemental first rounder. You get two of the top 35, 40 picks in the draft. And those may turn into other elite prospects. So, I mean, this deal's not even done being organized yet.
Right. And you can't, when you talk about that bullpen, I mean, that was kind of the look in September, August. We were sitting there, wow, this bullpen doesn't look too good. But the last three games, Jason Mott has just been in fuego. What are you seeing up there about him? It seems like, obviously, the heat's there, but it seems like he's had pinpoint control. The ball is going where he wants it to go.
I wouldn't go with quite pinpoint,
okay.
but it's been better. He's been throwing the ball where he wants to, and he's also developed that cutter, I guess. I mean, there's been some joke that he's not even sure whether it's a cutter or a slider, but there's been consistency with that. It's right around 90, 91 miles an hour. It's got just a little bit of movement, and it's just enough to change the look from the 96, 97, 98 mile an hour fastball to keep guys honest, and he really has developed that pitch over the course of this season. He didn't have that to open the season, but it's not a coincidence that you've seen that, especially since the month of June when he's been so dominant over the last, three-plus months.
Right. Wrapping up with Kevin Wheeler from Camo X. Kevin, give me the reason why the Cardinals can beat Doc Holliday.
Well, I mean, they got three runs off him in the first inning last time, right?
Right.
Well, if you do that again and Carpenter's on his game, you can win 3-1 or 3-2. I think that's the trick. Or you got to make him work. And doing that with Roy Halladay is tough because he throws a lot of strikes, and he can go 120, 130 pitches.
Right.
You know, he's not a guy that's going to be out of gas at 100. So it's going to be a tough ball game, and then they're going to get to their best relievers right out of Roy Halladay, and Cliff Lee will be available in the bullpen too. It's going to be a tough haul, but the reason you can do it is that you've got elite hitters in the middle of that order who can hit elite pitching. I'm not sure if it will happen that way. I think this is pretty much a coin toss of a game between these two teams, but if you're going to get him early, because if you don't get him in the first couple innings, good luck.
Kevin, looking to the other side of the field, what's going wrong with the Phillies in their middle of their lineup? Obviously, Ryan Howard having a lot of trouble with lefties, but still, Raul Banez hasn't been hitting that well, and some of those guys that really need to produce for them to win.
Well, what I noticed, too, is Placido Polanco hasn't looked good, and that's kind of unusual. He's normally pretty consistent, but he's had a lot of injuries this year, and he's just not doing a lot of damage down there in the bottom part of the order. Ibanez has been that way all year. I mean, he's got 20 home runs, but he's hit 230, 240 all season long, and he's susceptible to all left-handers, which is why John Mayberry Jr. plays against the lefties. The guy they need to get going is Ryan Howard. I mean, he had the big home run in Game 1, and I think that's part of the reason why that went so well for them, because he was swinging the bat well. Chase Utley's not what he used to be. He's still recovering. I'm not sure that he's 100% strong yet. He's healthy, but he's not really back to being Chase Utley yet, and who knows, maybe he won't be. But if Ryan Howard doesn't get going, Hunter Pence isn't enough to carry a team. And Shane Victorino's not a typical number five hitter. So, you know, their lineup is not as imposing as it used to be. This year they've been mostly about starting pitching and defense and, you know, pretty good bullpen work from Ryan Madsen. So they're beatable because of that.
I agree, and I think that's where Jason Worth had so many big hits for that Phillies team in the past. Kevin Wheeler, we always appreciate it. You do a fine job, of course, and I can't wait. You get to do at least one more pregame for the St. Louis Cardinals team. Hopefully you get to do a bunch more. Kevin, thank you so much.
All right, fellas, have a good one. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thanks,
all right,
Kevin.
That is Kevin Wheeler. I was going to ask him about the Blues. They're opening up, but we'll do that maybe down the road. Kevin is a huge Blues fan. He does a lot of stuff with the St. Louis Blues. Hockey starts tonight, baby.
You didn't want to ask him about the Rams?
No. Not the 0-4 Rams.
Can you fix that team? Playmakers. They need playmakers.
They do. That's the problem. Is you've got an unbelievable quarterback in Sam Bradford. Go get him a
playmaker. I don't know if he's unbelievable
yet. I think he's good
pretty
if you
good.
Gave him some weapons to throw to, I think you'd see. I think maybe teams are figuring him out a little bit more this year. It's kind of like that second, you know, everybody calls it that sophomore slump. Well, more than anything, it's coaches figuring things out on you. But I still think Sam Bradford, before it's over, is going to be a dynamic quarterback.
And obviously injuries have killed them with Steven Jackson. And his go-to guy, kind of the Wes Welker of the Rams, Danny Amendola, out for the season. That kills you right there. Because, I mean, he only averaged about 7 yards a catch.
Yep.
But I think the Rams would take 7 yards a catch right now because nobody else is actually catching the ball.
I'm calling out right now. We talk a lot of St. Louis Cardinals, and we're going to continue to do this as we go along today. Next hour, Dustin Dporek from the Bloomington Herald-Times in Indiana is going to join us. We're going to start hyping up a little bit the Illini-Indiana game this Saturday. But we're going to talk some more baseball this hour, and I don't want to just talk Cardinals baseball. I want to hear from either a White Sox fan. You've got a new manager. It's Robin Ventura, and we'll talk to Jeremy more about that. We're efforting Megan Montemurro, who joined us a lot this year. She covers the White Sox, and hopefully she'll be able to join us maybe in the 5 o'clock hour. I also want to hear and see if there's any Yankees or Tigers fans out there. That's a big game tonight. And how about the Brewers and Diamondbacks tomorrow? Arizona's made a game of this. They've made a series. And that thing's going to come down to Game 5 as well. Is there anything better? Three Game 5s out of four series, and we get to watch them all, and it starts tonight.
Really surprised about this Brewers. But they've been really good at home. So that's my team, though. The Rangers,
they did their part.
Rangers, Brewers. The Rangers didn't look good after one game. But, yeah, Brewers need to eke one out for me to be right with my World Series pick.
Well, let's see if we've got some Tigers or Yankees or Brewers, or Diamondback fans out there. Let's hear from you. This is your chance. 359-2255. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.